you swallow the sky, where you bury the song of the Tagesta.
Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with accomplished Florida-based jazz bassist, composer, educator, and recording artist, Scott Lee. We caught up with him about his new 2026 album, Greetings from Florida, Postcards from Paradise, and his world in the music. This new genre-bending song cycle album features jazz vocalist and guitarist Camila Meza and explores the tension between an imagined Florida and the reality experienced by those who are drawn to the state. Eight poems by Cuban-American poet Carolina Hospital serve as the lyrics. His music often takes inspiration from popular genres, exploring odd meter grooves and interlocking hockets. He marries that traditional intricacy of classical form with more body-centered and visceral language of popular music. We get into his whole journey and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
Ready to roll. How's life?
Life's great. Yeah.
Cool. Where are you located?
I'm in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure because I knew the album was coming from Florida. So I just wanted to make sure.
I teach at the University of Florida.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Well, it's great to connect. Thank you for taking a minute out today. I'm looking forward to getting into the album and your career. So I appreciate it.
Great.
So let's begin with the first thing I want to kind of broach is 6 years ago, this pandemic changed so much for all of us as musicians, as humans. How did you get through that era? And how has it changed the way that you approach creating and teaching and living now?
Oh, man. That was a tough time for everyone. I just moved here in 2019, actually, back to Florida. And started teaching at the University of Florida, where I still teach. And, all of a sudden I was out of my office, out of, teaching from home and teaching on Zoom and spending a lot of time at home writing music instead of, being out with people playing and listening to music live and all of that. So, the major changes that happened for me in that time was my wife and I were looking at each other saying, well, she's a musician as well. She plays on the record. She's a cellist. Yeah. She didn't have any gigs. So we're like, maybe we should just start our family now. And so since the pandemic hit, we have two kids now.
Okay. Good
but I don't look fondly back on the stress of those times for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very stressful. So let me ask you this. Let's get into the new album. How much of living through that era was a part of Greetings from Florida? Kind of talk to me about the artistic vision for this project.
I don't know if that era is for me like the driving force behind a lot of what's happening on the album. I think more what inspired the idea for the album was, me coming back to Florida. I'm from Florida originally, and then I moved away to go to college and then ended up coming back here. And now, like I said, I'm raising my family here. And there are just a lot of things happening here in the state that sort of started troubling me, things where development started really encroaching ever more on the kind of natural world that makes Florida unique, whether you're talking about the Everglades or whether you're talking about specific animals that like the Florida scrub jay habitat that's being encroached upon and or the manatee or the Florida panther. All of these things are all sort of increasingly threatened and at a kind of tipping point. But there's also sort of political things that have been happening here, obviously, changes. There's just this idea of Florida as a place that people are drawn to, right? And then people get here and they think it's this perfect utopian place and they get here and it's not really that. It doesn't really match their expectations. And then they say, well, I want it to be that thing, and then try to force the issue and then risk kind of destroying the things that make it paradise for either the wildlife that's already here or people that have been here for centuries and what have you. And that's like a story that's been happening, I think, throughout Florida's history.
Yeah.
With that same kind of draw, whether you're talking about like conquistadors coming here or retirees or nature lovers or immigrants. tourists, any of that.
So, what are you ultimately hoping the listener gets from this album?
I think, at least in terms of the message, I think maybe a more complex portrait of Florida. There's a kind of caricature of Florida, either as this like paradise beach, vacation destination, or as a kind of the butt of a joke, right? Florida man and all of that. And the reality here is a lot more complicated. There's a huge variety of sort of cultural approaches in the state, different kinds of people, different kinds of natural places, different animals that are unique to Florida. And I think the reality here is both more complicated than what most realize, and I think interesting in ways that people don't really think about.
Yeah. So take me back to your beginnings in Florida. How did the bass, how did jazz, how did music become your career?
Yeah, so I'm from St. Pete, Florida, which is like Tampa Bay area. And, I started taking piano when I was, I don't know, 5. I think my mom tells me that my sister was taking piano and she's older, and I really wanted to do everything she was doing. So I wanted to take piano, and my mom said, "Well, you can start lessons when you learn how to read." So I really wanted to start doing it. And then I started writing music when I was in maybe like middle school, and just kind of making up songs at the piano, and got a little more serious in high school. I started, playing some jazz with some friends of mine, and we had a little trio that we, played really terrible gigs and made no money doing, but I had a great time. And then I started to get more serious into writing music, and I went to college, to Vanderbilt, for composition. And it just kind of snowballed from there. There were some successive milestones where I was like, "Is this the thing I want to keep doing?" Yeah, it is. I'm realizing that it's where my interests are. It's what I'm good at. And so I've always had this kind of tension, I think, between the kind of classical side of things, where I like the kind of control of being able to write out music for players to play, and control the formal structure of things. How it sounds, how it all unfolds, but also I love jazz, and I love the aesthetics of jazz, and I love a groove, and so I've that tension exists in my music as well, as you can hear in this album. There's a lot of different influences, and so it's hard to kind of say what it is and what it isn't, I think.
So, who were early influences? Who were musicians or bands that helped you find your voice?
Sure. On the jazz side, I think, Vijay Iyer is a big influence. I was big into the Bad Plus. I love more contemporary jazz artists, Darcy James Argue and the Secret Society. I was really into that. And on the classical side, composer Bartok was a big influence on me in high school, and then some contemporary composers like Thomas Adess, who you might not know, and groups like, I don't know, like the Punch Brothers. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Chris Thiele, is a mandolin player, and they're doing covers of Debussy alongside of fiddle tunes and alongside of like rock songs. And I think that approach has always been interesting to me, like a kind of Catholic taste of I can draw from anything and everywhere,
Yeah.
and so that's reflected, I think, in the album too.
So, what was the first live jazz show that you saw that blew you away, that maybe emboldened you a little bit more to want to be on stage playing music?
The first live jazz.
Or one of the early ones that was influential?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back. Oh man. I saw the Bad Plus a number of times, and those were big influences on me, and I ended up transcribing a bunch of their tunes and showing Ethan Iverson, and So that was definitely influential on me. I remember going to a concert at the Village Vanguard and seeing Paul Motion play, which was an experience for sure, before he passed a few years back. So I don't know if I can think of one particular live concert. And then there were some like jam sessions that I would go to with some the local scene in St. Pete that were formative as well. And to be clear, I don't think of myself really as a performer in this sense. I'm not the one usually playing my own music on stage. I like to write the music and let the practicing performing musicians really get out there and realize the music, you know.
So, when you left Florida the first time and went to school, where did you go?
So I went to Vanderbilt for undergrad, and then ended up going doing a master's at Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, part of Johns Hopkins. Then did a doctorate at Duke University, and now I'm teaching at the University of Florida. So I've been all around the kind of Southeast Mid-Atlantic regions.
Yeah. So what did leaving home, I mean, that's a big deal from where you're from. Leaving home and coming back, what kind of perspective did that give for you as a musician, as a composer? Did it add to it? What was kind of the sea change, so to speak, coming back?
Sure. I guess I never really intended to come back to Florida. When you're looking for jobs in academia, which is where the stable gigs are in composition, I guess, you go where the jobs are, and so it wasn't like I was like, I'm going to head home, you know, and
Yeah.
but it ended up that way. I'm 2 hours away from where I grew up, where my parents still live. And so I think that coincidence and the fact that, you know, now I'm raising my own family here really gave me a sense of like ownership of, I feel like a responsibility towards this place to kind of, I don't know, express what I think is not going the way I wish it would go. Things that I feel like are at risk of being lost that can never be recovered. And, you know, I'm not a politician, I'm not an activist in these ways, but I feel like the music is where I can make my mark. Not that I think I have the power to, like, you know, change the course of things by writing a song cycle, but that's what I know how to do. It's my language, you know.
And that is one thing I'm talking more and more with the musicians about in America, more specifically. We're going through all kinds of stress now, rising prices, inflation, war, immigration, all these things. And I feel like historically, in the annals of America, artists have always been the one that have allowed us to feel like we're connected, that gives us that community, gives
For
us that
sure.
escape from the headlines. And if there was ever a time where the headlines can be ignored or put aside for a while, it's today. So is that more and more of what you're thinking about as you create music and teach the kids and everything that you're doing right now as an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily, I don't think you would call this album an escape.
Right.
It's more like a warning or something like that, I guess. And so I think, you know, I wanted to walk a line with this album. There's, you know, a lot of pieces of music, people have written a lot of art about, say, like climate change or something like that, right? And I see a lot of those kinds of pieces can be really, it can be really, it can create, generate really interesting and incredible art, but it can also generate kind of cliched, overwrought kind of things. And it's like, how many times can we tell the same story? And so I was interested in not writing this kind of big, you know, international world collapsing narrative, but instead focusing on what I know, what I see happening in my, you know, area of influence or where I live. And rather, you know, so there's a track on the album called Big Waters that is about kind of, you know, the rising seas, but Big Waters is actually the Native American name for my, that's what Miami, the name of the city, means. And so the poetry, which was written by Carolina Hospital, really focuses on, the geography of Miami, the kind of high ground, how it's historically been where the poor folks live, but now it's in demand because the water's rising, and so the influence, things are kind of flipped there in terms of the incentives for where people want to live and what's more expensive. And so, I think it's more interesting to tell these specific stories about what's happening in certain places and what's at risk, rather than saying, well, we're all at risk of, sea rise, and it's the same everywhere, because it's not,
Yeah. So, what do you like the best about being a part of the jazz community, about educating, creating? What is it that motivates you every day?
My favorite thing is to work with musicians, to be in playing with people, to be in rehearsals, and so getting a chance to work with Camila Meza on this album was like such a privilege. She's got this great presence in the jazz scene, and I wrote these songs for her, but we had not worked together before this. I had kind of approached her, with a cold email, more or less, and said, "Hey, I love what you're doing. I've got this idea. I got some funding. Are you game?" And she was. And so I wrote these songs for her. I wasn't sure what was going to happen when she showed up. We had a very tight timeline for her to come into town, rehearse like one day, perform it live, and then record the next 2 days. And she just laid it down and really made the songs her own. In a way that I couldn't have anticipated. So that process of working with her and with the group, and just refining the music, and then getting to record it, and that's what I live for. Because you spend a lot of time as a composer, alone, working out your ideas, sitting at the computer, sitting at the piano, singing to yourself in the car, recording voice memos, these kinds of things. But then to get to make the music, hear it in the air around you, and present it to people in the audience. Like, that's really why I do this, and for that interactive element. So that's what I love about the jazz scene, being part of live music,
So, if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see one show with your own eyes, where would you go? What would you go see?
There's this amazing video of the Brecker brothers playing, I think it's like Montreal Jazz Fest or something, and they're playing like some skunk funk and these like incredibly challenging, all over the place meter changes, harmony, weird harmonies, those kinds of tunes. I would love to be there and experience that live. It's just like powerful. It's like amplified jazz. It's like, I don't know, that would be cool.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, everyone has a perception of you. Family, friends, fans, students, everyone on the bandstand, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Oh, who do I think I am? I don't. That's a tough question. Who do I think I am? I think I'm someone who can operate a little bit behind the scenes in a way to do the hard work to make something, to create something, to get the details worked out. I think my own perception of me and my music, let's say, is I've tended towards maybe gestures and music that is pretty what you see is what you get. Everything's on the surface, somewhat bombastic or just not subtle. And I've been trying to work more recently into like building in a little more subtlety into what I do, and therefore making the music, making the art a little more, a little less obvious, let's say. So I don't know. That's kind of where I see my own perception of me, and at least what I'm trying to do artistically going forward.
So, Greetings from Florida is the new album. If anybody wants to download, pick up a copy. I know it's streaming everywhere. Or if they want to dig into anything else going on in your world, where's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, I mean, you can find it on Bandcamp. You can buy a physical CD. You can get the digital album, which has liner notes that if you purchase the album and gives you more of the lyrics of the poetry that Camila or that Carolina wrote, which is, I think, incredible. I have my own website. You can check out with some more information there, scottleemusic.net. Yeah, and I'd love to hear what people think. I'm really proud of the record. I hope a lot of people listen to it and check it out, get the message, groove to the tunes, enjoy Carolina's poetry, enjoy Camila's singing and the group, which is really top-notch performers from around Florida. Some of my colleagues at UF, my wife Emily, other friends on the album. So, I hope everybody checks it out.
Yeah, it's a great album. Thank you. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking a minute out. Best of luck with everything. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Florida, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Scott for swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. And until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.